put that out there for you. If you want to be baptized this morning, even if you didn't plan on it, we'll figure it out. We could send you home wet. It's not that cold outside. No. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to look at something that's really cool, really special. And I hope that you can all gain an understanding how awesome and wonderful you truly are as a chosen place for God's Holy Spirit. That's the title of this message, His Chosen Place. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. Look what's being said here as Solomon, King Solomon, is able to dedicate the temple. It says, "The Lord appeared to him at night and said, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices.'" Now that's a good word. That's a good news story right there, because they put lots of time and lots of gold and lots of expensive things into the building of this particular structure, one of the most expensive buildings ever created in the entire history of our world, according to some scholars. And of course, that's not the big issue. The big issue is, will God's presence come? I mean, you can make the most beautiful church in all the world, but if the Holy Spirit isn't there, what good has it done? What good is a church without the Spirit? I mean, that would just be dry and shallow and hollow and painful, quite honestly. But when the Spirit of God is present, we rejoice. And so here we have a word from God to King Solomon. Hey, I have chosen this place for my presence. That's good news. Verse 13, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." Verse 16, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into history of how you spoke to King Solomon and you spoke to those that were involved with the building of that temple, the great, amazing temple that it was. That you spoke about your presence coming and that you would hear the prayers of your people. May we glean from that knowledge and that truth and understand how it applies to our current day. Help us, Lord, to see the power that is being expressed through you in that time, but also in our time. For you know, and I know, and we all know, that your word tells us that now we are the temple of your Holy Spirit. May we never take it for granted. May we understand the blessing it is that we have now become your chosen place. I pray your anointing, Lord, to be upon us all. I especially pray for Jamie, a blessing on her and on her family as she makes a public commitment and a testimony of your saving grace to all to see and hear and know. May your anointing be upon her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to be dedicating the temple of the Holy Spirit today. Pretty cool, huh? Are you trembling just a little bit? Like, ooh, just a little. Awesome. That's good. That's good. Most of you have already experienced this special dedication. You have had that privilege to be baptized and to be able to make a public statement of your faith that's taken place in your life. And you have dedicated yourself to serving God. In order to appreciate the fullness of what that really means in our day and age, I think it's relevant for us to look at Solomon's temple and to see some of the things that surrounded the dedication. Because let's be honest, the Holy Spirit who was there in that place is the same Holy Spirit who is in this place. Amen. Not this building. Now, prayerfully, His Spirit is present in the building. You know, God's presence is everywhere all the time. We know that. But here's the bottom line. When you come, you bring Him with you. And that's why when you gather in His name, something special is happening. Because the presence of God is multiplied. As his people come together and worship. And there's something unique and powerful about that understanding and that knowledge. I pray that each of us will have a renewed vision of who we are in Christ, his chosen place. Let's back up in 2 Chronicles, just one chapter, to verse 29. Chapter 6, verse 29, and also verse 30. Look at what's happening here. It's pretty cool. It says, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, which want each one aware of his afflictions and pains, and spreading out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. For you alone know the hearts of men. As the prayer of dedication is taking place, there is a desire by those that are praying to the Father that God the Father would deal with each man individually according to what he has done, according not only to what he has done, but where his heart is. And that's a prayer that we should pray for ourselves as we understand that his presence is also with us. Jump ahead to verse 36. When they sin against you, continuing with this prayer, when they, the people of God, sin against you, there is no one who does not sin, he says, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to a land far or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their captivity and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong and acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity where they were taken and pray towards the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen and toward the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer. Hear their pleas and uphold their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, I would love to tell you that when you are baptized in water to demonstrate the death of the flesh and the rising again as a new creation, I would love to tell you, Jamie, that you will be the perfect person. You will never do wrong ever again. And grandma says, hallelujah. No, yeah. All of us, right? I would love to tell you that, but the reality is you're a human being. You're not perfect. And there's a chance, there's that small chance you might not be perfect after the baptism. Everyone knows I'm being sarcastic, right? Now, do we strive for perfection? Yes, and perfection in the Bible means completion. It does not mean without flaw. We strive to be more like Christ. We strive to be like him. We strive to serve him faithfully. But when we fail, when we make mistakes, when we fall into sin, here's the prayer of my heart, here's the prayer of all of us. God, when we fail, hear our prayer. Forgive us of our sins. Because that's going to be needed. Not one single person here has ever been able to say, yeah, when I was baptized, I came out of that water and I never sinned again. Not one person can say that. But you can say, I've always been forgiven when I failed the Lord. Hallelujah. I've always found his peace and his comfort as an assurance. Even when I didn't deserve it, he forgave me. And when my heart turned back to God, he was there with open arms, just like the prodigal son who returned home. The one who spent the blessings of his father totally frivolously and foolishly. That's what prodigal means. Exceedingly wasteful. How many times are we exceedingly wasteful with the blessings of God in the church today? Wow. Way too often. And yet God welcomes us back with open arms. And so the prayer as we dedicated the temple back then is that if your people sin, Lord, and they will, he says. You notice how that prayer came? If they sin, and they will, and you, by punishing them, put them into captivity, you get a pretty good spanking from God, right? God likes to spank his children. Not literally. At least I've never had that happen. Anybody? No, I'm just kidding. But I have had his punishment, his discipline, his right hand. And I found myself exceedingly sorrowful of soul. Lord, I've hurt you. I've failed you. Will you forgive me? And he says, yes, I do. Absolutely. Welcome back. Not that I've lost my place of standing, but I certainly found myself in suffering because of sin. Look at verse 40 through verse 42 of that same chapter. Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, O Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. What a great prayer that is. The prayer of dedication of the temple is certainly still relevant for us today. And here's the thing that kind of shakes us a little bit. In the original reading, the text that I started off with, it doesn't say when the devil shuts up the heavens so there is no rain, when Lucifer commands the locust to devour the land, when Satan plagues the people of God. It doesn't say that. What does it say? It says, when I, God the Father, shut up the heavens so there is no rain. When I, the Father, God, command the locust to devour the land. When I, God Almighty, send plagues among my people. God is the one that's in charge of all these things. And believe it or not, I know this is going to rattle your brain just a little bit. God is the God overseeing, what do they call it now? Climate change. Come on. We used to call it global warming, but that doesn't really work anymore because we seem to be getting colder and I'm confused. So it's global change now. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you want to call it, whatever the weather's doing, and there's some major flooding going on in Nebraska right now. It's devastating. It's scary to watch. And we've seen things like this happen. God is God. And now you can come up with a plan to try and deter the weather from becoming weather, and good luck with that, but and I think we should be sensible with what we're doing, amen? God says to take care of his earth. So let's be smart about how we do our stuff, whatever that is. But the bottom line is, God's in charge. When he sends the rain, it's him. When he doesn't send the rain, it's him. I remember a man in our church back in the day who prayed for hail. He did. He was praying, oh Lord, please send the hail. And we're all going, no! I remember having that conversation with Dad. Dad, what's going on? Why did he pray for hail? Well, he took out full coverage. It cost him a lot. And here's the crazy thing. God sent hail. And you want to know what's even crazier? His was the only field that got wiped out. Boom, my brain exploded. I mean, it was like, what? What? And he was just praising God. Hallelujah, I got hailed out. And we're all going, you are crazy, man. Dad got just a little bit of hail. I think he got like 10% or something, which didn't even register on the scale. Didn't get anything out of that deal. If you know how insurance works, it's kind of crazy stuff. Got to have some major failure for it to pay. Right, Kevin? Okay, just checking. But God actually sent hail to one farm, and it skipped over everybody. It was just the weirdest thing. Well, God can do whatever he wants to do. And here's my perspective as a more mature, wiser, older person. More than likely, when he was praying for hail, and we all called him insane and weird, he was probably hearing from the voice of God saying, pray for hail. No, seriously, pray for hail. And he did, and it came. It was just weird. What is that all about? Well, here's the deal. God is in charge. Quit giving the devil credit for something God is doing. Amen. I know that's kind of harsh, but it's true. Thanks for the amen. That makes me feel a little better. Sometimes I say things and people don't like it. That's okay. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 now, verse 1 through 3. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. Woo-hoo-hoo! Wow! That's pretty cool. Consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. There's presence right there. That's power right there. That is Almighty God in the house right there. The priest couldn't even enter, it says. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His love endures forever. Powerful experience. What did they do? Well, verse 4, when the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, the king Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. I mean, we think a ranch with 600 head of cows and a few heifers along the way and the steers that they sell in the fall, maybe, I don't know, 400, 600, 500, 400, whatever. 22,000 they sacrificed that day. Not including the 120,000 sheep and goats. Is it a big deal that God's temple was chosen for his dwelling place? Yes, it is. It's worth 120,000 sheep and goats. It's worth 22,000 bulls. Let us never take for granted the presence of God in our lives as we are now the temple of his Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and verse 20. You all know this passage, but it's good to see it. It's good to read it. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? How big a deal is it? Well, I would speculate it's worth 22,000 bulls to be sacrificed on an altar. 120,000 sheep and rams, goats. It's worth a lot. More than you could ever come up with. More than you could ever give. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in you. You have received this from the Lord God himself. It says verse 20, you were bought at a price. Therefore honor God with your body. We are dedicating the temple today unto the Lord. We believe that the Holy Spirit is already present, but we are going to dedicate the temple today through a baptism experience. The old is gone and the new has come. A visual and a testimony of the work of God. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting. Look at 2 Corinthians now, chapter 6. We were in 1 Corinthians, now we're 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Interesting discussion here. The temple is a place when his presence was there, the priests couldn't even enter. They would have been stricken dead. There had to be a great ceremony, and only one could come into that Holy of Holies throughout the centuries that followed. Because if they did not come into his presence rightly, they would have died. That's serious business. And now we are speaking of our own bodies. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. How serious, how important is that? Well, it says here, verse 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Yoking is a very serious thing. Those of you who know what a yoke is, it's a wooden harness, if you will, that oxen would use to pull equipment, tools, wagons, whatever. If you are unequally yoked, you're going to have a whole lot of problems. That oxen pair is not going to work so well. I remember I was working at a Christian campground and I was driving a sleigh. I also drove a wagon and I harnessed up these Belgians and they were Duke and Daisy. And Duke was a big brute, I tell you. He was a big horse. Daisy, she was about three hands less than him. Maybe not three hands, but she was not as big. They were brother and sister, I believe. But the funny thing was, is Daisy did all the work. Duke's like, not so bad. I can do this all day long.
Jesus is like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, that's what it was like. Just like that. She would dig in. She took two steps for every one of his because she was digging. When you looked at the tracks,
I'm sorry, here, I'm back.
When you looked at her tracks, she would literally dig out in the gravel, in the mud, and she would be deeper than him, and she weighed about 300 pounds less. But she was digging hard, digging hard, digging hard. So I'm constantly having to get Duke, or Dan and Daisy. I was trying to get Dan, come on, Dan, get your butt up there. Come on, Dan. I constantly had to whoop his little rear end there with that rein, get him working. Is that how you want to live your life? You want to have someone always dragging you down, always holding back, never letting you truly find your great potential because you're harnessed unequally. You're not equally yoked. That's the challenge. Don't do it. That's the word. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Now, I'm not saying you can't have friends that aren't believers. I hope that you do have friends that aren't believers and you're speaking into their life with love and grace. I hope that's the case. But if you're yoked, you're talking more than friendship now. Now you're talking bosom buddy stuff, BFF, best friends forever, right? That you better be careful of. Now you're in a mess because they are influencing you more than you're influencing them, and it's going to destroy you. Be careful as a young person, especially. But it doesn't stop just because we get older. It's a lifelong decision. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, basically a pagan god? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God, which is us, and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Says verse 17, therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. In other words, don't be yoked with the world. The passions of the world are not our passions. What are your passions? Well, they should be God's passions because you're yoked with Him. Amen? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Yeah. And a yoke is never single. It's always two. Pulling side by side. Jesus is yoked with you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't yoke yourself with the world. Don't tie yourself up with those things which are only going to drag you down. That's not the best plan. No, does it happen? Yeah, it does. We can work through that. Amen? We can make it. Through the grace of God, through the choices we make, we can find a way through His love and His grace and His faithfulness. But the best choices, especially as we start out young, as we commit our life into the Lord's hands, is to not make those mistakes early. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21, tells us that we are the dwelling place in which God's Spirit lives. We are the temple of His presence. First Peter 2, verse 4 through 5, if you're taking notes, it says, you are a spiritual house offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We all have heard the song many years ago. Maybe the young people don't hear it anymore. But it's, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Everything we do unto God is a sacrifice from ourselves. A living sacrifice. We are now the place where the sacrifice takes place. No longer is it a Jewish temple, somewhere in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. Hasn't been for many, many, many years. But you are the place of God's dwelling. You are the place of sacrifice. Pretty cool.
pretty awesome. So I'm going to close with Joshua 24, and then we're going to have a baptism. Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 22 and 23. After Joshua has been declaring, you guys don't really want God, you don't really want to serve him, they all basically says, yes, we do. We will. We want to serve him. Verse 22, then Joshua says, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And so that's where we're at today. You are a witness against yourself. You have chosen to serve the Lord. And then they said, yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Hallelujah. Today is a special day. And I'm going to just take a few moments. There's going to be just a little bit of moving of furniture so that you all can see the best that you can. And I'm going to slip into my office and slip into something more comfortable for water. I'm just putting some shorts on real quick. And family are welcome to come on up because it's going to be difficult to see Jamie. She's not exactly 6 foot tall. So I'm hoping your head's above the water when we go in. No, I'm just teasing. So you might not be able to see her very well, but I'm going to, before we go into the water, I'm going to just ask for Jamie to respond with a declaration of faith, and then we'll make our way into the water, and we're going to do a baptism. Okay? All right, let's do that.